Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and Cam Cleland.
Matt?
Yeah, Matt!
Good, Matt!
Yeah!
What do you want to do about it?
Really good, doesn't it? Like you're still alive, right?
Yeah!
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Opening round action of the Winco Foods Portland Open out here at Pumpkin Ridge is underway. And golfers are over here on the putting green right next to us, getting warmed up and ready to go on the round. It's cool to kind of look around and see all the guys' bags. You know, they still have their college logos on their bags. Mm-hmm. We've seen UW, Ohio State, Arkansas. You still you have a lot of the who's who of college golf that come out here. And what's funny is that they're all talking like college football on the putting.
I'm telling you, these guys love their football out here.
They do. They really do. We were talking about Oregon State's locker room. In this text at 55305, does this mean OSU can take recruits into their locker room? I can't believe Riley didn't want that. Yes. And famously, I don't know if you remember this, Mike Riley said they stopped taking recruits into the locker room because it was so bad.
They were ashamed?
Well, yeah, because everybody has these new and flashy facilities, and Oregon State finally got their first of what will be many, mm-hmm. that $42 million project that they're doing at the Valley Football Center. This was the first installment. It was a new locker room, and the kids were pumped. You were asking me about some of the amenities it has.
They look nice.
It has the hydrotherapy pools that are becoming commonplace, but I mean,
it's just called a cold tub.
And a hot tub.
Those things, you know what my hydrotherapy pool was in college?
What?
The kiddie pools and the guys dumping ice in it.
Yeah.
That was my hydrotherapy pool.
Well, see, now you're...
And a kiddie pool.
Now you're saying that this is just a cold pool. Look at what that is.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the ones that...
It's like the Ferrari of cold pools, and you were driving a Pinto, man.
I wasn't even driving a Pinto. I was in a go-kart.
See? And then they also have a sauna. Huh?
I'm a big fan. More fan of... I'm a steam room guy. I'm more fan of a steam room than a sauna. I think certain players, certain guys, you're either a steamer... Or you're either a sauna guy. So it's kind of like you're either a southern guy or you like the desert. That's mm-hmm. how it works.
That is true.
Are you a desert or do you like the southern steam?
Hmm. I like the steam room.
Yeah, me too.
Because I like the eucalyptus spray.
I do. Yes.
With the steam. My whole question is, you always see a lot of locker rooms that have that in them,
mm-hmm.
steam room and or sauna.
Yeah.
Is there an athletic benefit to that or is that just a luxury? Because the only things
what
I
are
ever
you talking used, about?
I always use them for just getting rid of my hangovers, well, sweating out the booze.
No, I used to go in there, stretch, get your muscles loose.
Really?
I actually, every home game.
Huh. That's what real athletes do.
I know. Every home game, the last 5-6 years of my career, I would hot cold contrast in the hot cold tub 2 hours before the game, and then I would sauna and steam. Contrast back and forth. So I'd take about a half hour, and that was part of my pregame ritual. Felt like my legs and everything felt great. And so, yeah, I think that, they're huge.
That sounds really
recovery.
Taxing.
It's all about recovery. Athletes, it's all about how fast can you get your legs back, how fast can you heal, and these therapy pools and all of that. That's huge for those recruits walking in.
It's all about ball bearings these days, mm-hmm. huh? All about ball bearings. You think that this is going to be a big thing for Oregon State, right? Having these facility upgrades.
Yeah.
You see that that Florida pipeline that Gary Anderson was trying to build. Obviously, you've got guys like Art Pierce or Tavis Pierce, who's now vying for that backup role as a freshman, already paying dividends. How much did you see of the uptick? We all know about Oregon, which is a little ridiculous because they go so far in the excess. But mm-hmm. UW, when they went through the new facilities, they got a big uptick in their caliber of player.
Well, I think everybody now, especially when you're talking to young players, what's the number one thing that players are looking for other than playing time when they show up at your school, when you're trying to recruit? What is the number one thing they're going to ask about?
A briefcase full of cash.
Oh, okay. Well, so that would be the second. So what's the third thing they're going to ask about?
facilities.
Yeah, they're going to want to see what are they going to be training in every day. When you have a football-only weight room like the Huskies have, of course, and I think the Ducks have it. I think the Cougars now have it. Everybody has football-specific things, the football training room only, the football locker room only, all these things that you had to share in the past.
You know how much of a trickle-down it has, though? I mean, we see the big-time programs, and, you know, Oregon State was so far behind the eight ball that they were the last one in the Pac-12 to get new locker rooms. But the trickle-down is even to, we have this text, you know, Portland State's facilities from 99 to 2003 are pretty awful. It would have been antiquated in 1985. That was bearable, but sharing it all with the rec classes and the 60-plus ex-Woodstock crowd who'd cruise shamelessly in the buff made the experience less than ideal. Go Vikes! But, like, you see the facilities at Portland State massively upgraded. You see Eastern Washington, Montana, Montana State, the FCS. Heck, you see Western Oregon, Linfield, Lewis and Clark in Southern Oregon just got a new locker room this
year. You
know
what facilities are like? Facilities are like your house. Okay? How many times have you wanted to host a party at your house and your wife or anybody looks at you and goes, maybe we should rent something or we should go outside? You want to be proud of your house.
Right.
Because this is where you bring everybody. When you have something new, when you have something good to show off, you want to show it to people.
Right.
And you want to be proud of where your home is. And I think now that Oregon State is getting to the point where they're catching up, it's hard to say that in 2016 Oregon State is catching up, but that's where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. They need to catch up. This is one of the first steps. And as this keeps continuing to grow, then it comes to stadium and the terrace and serving alcohol there. Like Crawford says, I'm all about my beer at my game. I want my IPA at my Beaver game.
Did you just say the terrorists serving
no,
alcohol?
I said the terrace.
Oh, on the terrace. On the terrace.
I need to be specific. I didn't see any terrace.
Okay.
The terrace.
Terrorist.
So Oregon State is catching. It's catching up.
Yeah, and that's got to be great news because you've already seen kind of the uptick in recruiting. And when you have the facilities to go along with it, things trending in the right direction. All right, we have a new NFL player is calling out Roger Goodell. And this might be the most – this is actually pretty shocking to me. One of the few least expected people to be calling Roger Goodell to the carpet. We are out at the Winco Foods Portland Open presented by Kraft Heinz. Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course, it's the last full field event of the Web.com Tour. 156 players trying to get one of the 25 PGA Tour cards that will be handed out here on the 18th green on Sunday. It's Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
Live from the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz. This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Add Drew Brees to the growing list of NFL players that aren't happy with Roger Goodell.
And this is big. And why is it big? Well, he's one of the best quarterbacks. He's an aged veteran. He's established. And he's also been on the NFLPA's executive committee for the last 8 years. So this isn't somebody that just regularly comes out and gives criticism to the most powerful man in sports.
Yeah, you have his direct... Oops, sorry.
No, you're fine. You're trying to footsie
rub on. Well, yeah, we watched a sunrise together, and I feel like...
Well, we've done two things that we haven't done with our wives, so
right.
I guess that's good.
Yeah, we watched a sunrise together out here, mm-hmm. And then I just played footsies with you.
Yeah, right.
You have the direct quote in front of you. What was it exactly that he said about Roger Goodell? Because it's not going to be along the lines of Josh Norman or James Harrison calling him a crook, but Drew Brees, more eloquently put, his displeasure with the man running the league.
Well, he's in I'm going to summarize, but the main quote says, it's unfortunate because I feel like the league has lost so much trust from players and just the public in the way that they've handled these investigations, the lack of transparency. And I think when he says specifically about the Deflategate,
mm-hmm.
the Ray Rice issue,
mm-hmm.
and obviously the Bounty Gate,
mm-hmm.
that he is very, very close to because it derailed that entire franchise for that. I don't even want to call it. It's been going on for
years.
They're
still reeling.
Don't even get me started with how often that happened. So good for you, Roger Goodell, that you can throw hands down and obliterate the Saints because some guys were trying to hit guys hard. with some extra money.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, stop
one thing,
it.
Greg Williams on Hard Knocks. Have you seen this week's Hard Knocks yet?
Wait a minute. I saw last week's. I saw half of this week's, and I had to turn it off because the kids started coming in the room, and Greg Williams was lecturing everybody, and every other word was F-S-F-F.
That man has not changed.
Not like, at all.
He knew that cameras were in the room, and what happened the last time he got busted with cameras in the room...
Doesn't care.
...did not matter. The only thing he didn't say was, we're going to cut the head off the snake, and you get $500 for taking him out.
I loved how he called out every entitled football player as they're sitting in there. He said, your mamas and papas...
He went on
real world.
He went PC bro. He went on no safe spaces here.
No.
And if you don't listen and do your job in the real world, guess what? We'll find somebody to replace you, and we'll do the same thing. It was phenomenal. But at the same time, I was sitting there going, wow, what a lack of awareness. He really learned his lesson.
And I'm going to give the Los Angeles Rams coaching staff as the worst cussing coaching staff.
Worse?
It's all violent. It's all violent cussing.
Well, I think, you know what I mean? A lot of that has to do with editing.
It's all just that F-bomb. Yeah. At least with Coach Bill O'Brien, it was just like, we're just F and we're S in this. And
yeah.
It just felt like there was a more, there's no great way to swear, but there's definitely delivery.
Yeah, as
Boy, the Rams are just, their coaching staff is just a bunch of red asses.
Well, as Jeff Fisher once said, that's 7-9 BS.
Yeah, that's 7-9 BS. They,
when you're going through 7-9 BS,
that
it's a little bit different.
That is 7-9 bull.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You need to change the. You need to change it. Maybe when they start winning some games, they will.
So let's talk about Drew, because I wanted to ask you, get your opinion on, when you get a leader like this who's slated to make $30 million, but they're still trying to figure out New Orleans, when you have a big-time quarterback like this who's on the NFLPA's executive committee, call out the most powerful man in sports, as a fan or as yourself, when you're listening to this, are you taking this as just as a player, just protecting himself, protecting his players? Are you looking at a guy that holds a lot of esteem with a lot of players?
Yes.
This guy is held at a different standard because of how he carries himself, what he's done for the league, what he actually does in all those meetings. Does this alarm you when someone like this is going to call out the league in general at his age? Why does he need to call out the league at age 39? What's the motivation for Drew Brees to do that? Why does he need to do that? Is that a little bit of an alarm going off?
You know, absolutely, because the fact that we have seen now, think about the organizations that have come out and called out against him. I don't know this to be a fact, but you would know this because you were involved with the NFLPA, right? You were a rep.
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me that they're having their phone calls, or they have had a phone call,
currently,
a conference call,
yeah,
where they addressed this and said, guys, if we want to be taken seriously, we need to start a unified movement now. And when you see guys like Aaron Rodgers, when you see guys like James Harrison, now Drew Brees, we've seen it in Baltimore with Eugene Monroe.
Yep.
We've seen it in Pittsburgh. We've seen it in Green Bay, New Orleans. It's starting to spread. We know the displeasure that they have in New England, and Richard Sherman has even voiced his displeasure over the years. It's starting to become growing larger and larger.
Well, it's pretty clear to me that when Tom Brady's Deflategate ruling was held up, it started a conversation not only with DeMarie Smith and everybody is on the executive committee. There probably was a conference call. There probably was everybody reach out to your team. Everybody is now being. They're so worried, when I say everybody, as players. Players are now worried that they are getting taken advantage of, and all the power that you had as a player that you thought you negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement has just gone to the wayside. And so now you're starting to see guys, I don't know if it's a rallying cry, but it is, because I think the other thing that Drew says, everything's combative now.
Yes.
Everything the NFL does, everything Roger Goodell does, it's this iron fist. There's no solidarity between the players and Roger Goodell and the owners. There's all of this. Everything's combative. Everything's that I got to protect the shield, and I have to make sure that this is the way we keep this. It feels so just, there's no happiness in this sport. And I know it. I know there's no happiness. But you would like to see publicly the way Paul Tagliabue ran this, the entire league, there was a mutual respect between everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I know we're in a different era. Things are more public. For God's sakes, you know what underwear the guy's wearing on a daily basis because he tweets out every damn thing, and that are players. But I do believe that Roger Goodell's taking this to a level where he's created this monster.
Yeah, it's the owners like Roger Goodell more than Paul Tagliabue because Paul Tagliabue was too close with Gene mm-hmm. Upshaw and the players' union, right?
Yeah.
He got along with people too well. The owners...
He didn't want to make enemies. Can we just say that?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an easy way to describe it.
The owners love Roger Goodell because of the fact that he's not afraid to be the bad guy, to be their fall guy, mm-hmm. makes them boatloads of money. And what they are starting to do is they're saying, okay, you're overstepping your bounds. Maybe we've given you a little bit too much power. Maybe this has gone a little bit too far. Because when you have a situation where those owners, we talked about this yesterday, where the owners are going back and they're saying to the players, well, hey, man, we support you in this situation with a lot of the player discipline. And now Roger Goodell's like in this weird gray area
mm-hmm.
where he's given all this power. The owners love him. But on the back end of things, they're sitting there and they're undermining him to an extent by supporting the players a little bit too much, despite the fact that the owners pushed him into giving him this so much power.
Don't we agree that negativity and fear and all the things that cause controversy sells?
Yes.
And the entertainment business is the NFL, and they want to make sure that they sell tickets, that they have stories, that they stay relevant year-round. You heard it during Hard Knocks. If you watched the last Hard Knocks, I mean... I don't want to spoiler alert everything, but in general, Jeff Fisher talked about the differences of when he first got to L.A. You watch how the game was practiced and how practices run and how it was so physical, and the guys used to beat the crap out of each other, and now it's about a league called Recovery League, and these guys need to make sure that they're healthy because they're in shape and it's year-round. Well, if you look at how the league was ran 25 years ago compared to how it's run now, it was a lot. It wasn't so combative. It was friendlier. Now it's more about this guy, that guy. What are you doing to me? How is Joey Bosa destroying? What are the Spanos family doing to affect everybody? There's so much intrigue about every single aspect of the league that nothing is secret anymore.
You know, have you ever heard of a guy who cares so much about people and does so much counterproductive things to them than a guy like Roger Goodell? He cares. Protect the shield, protect our players, protect everything about them. We're making the game safer than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. He's trying to build and promote the game and really take care of the players with long-term benefits and really things that the players have sued for, but he's kind of been saddled with coming up with the ways that it goes down, and he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, just completely backhanding them and knocking them down at every turn.
But honestly, Dusty, he's done nothing that we don't do and you don't see in society every day. I'm going to say something here that's not any big revelation. Everything now is based upon, will I get sued or will I not get sued?
True.
I can't walk down this street on this side of the street because they have to put up cones and they have to put up a protection because one person got hurt here. Now everybody will sue. It's just the league is based upon protecting itself because a player will sue. Mm-hmm. Somebody will sue. I will afraid here. The guys, you know, look what happened at the Hall of Fame. They screwed up. They screwed up. They couldn't get the game. Well, the league's going to get sued. It's going to get a class action suit because people here, everybody just wants something for nothing now. And so everything is based on how do you protect yourself? What's going to be fearful? We're just looking at this total windfall of somebody just saying, finally, can we just please play football and not have the drama, but it's never going to happen.
You know, I
believe... Because some lawyer will find a way to sue something else because somebody's hangnail was stuck out the wrong way.
I believe the Dire Straits once said, money for nothing and the chicks for free, right?
Sure.
That's what everybody wants.
It's always somebody else's fault, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same token, you can understand why. If you're both sides of this, he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, $20 billion in the next 4 years, where we're projecting the NFL to be by 2020 is $20 billion. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why guys are fighting.
But he should also stop being such a jerk, because it hurts him. It hurts him. Despite being in the news cycle, it hurts the perception of him and
right
his
now.
League.
Describe Roger Goodell in one word.
Oh, geez.
In a legacy thought, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, what are you going to remember for him? What are you going to take away for what Roger Goodell has done? One word or a sentence or three words. Something that immediately comes to mind when you say Roger Goodell.
You know, and this is going to be a hard one, and I want to think about this. Text us 55305. First one in, douche.
well.
I will say this. It would probably be dictator. That is what initially I think, but let me think about this. Text us 55305. Here's Crawford of SportsCenter.
Live from Pumpkin Ridge in the 2016 Winco Foods Portland Open, this is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
You know, it's really hard for people to get one word to describe
someone. What did we ask our listeners to do?
We asked them to one word to describe Roger Goodell, and the first thing that came to mind, which I thought I would regret, and I kind of do, is dictator.
Yeah.
Because... like what I was just saying is that he makes the players and he props up player safety. We're caring more about the players. We're putting this money into former players, into their retirement. We're trying to make it a better league for the players, mm-hmm. safer, more money, all this stuff. But at the same time, he's just backhanding, undermining, and really treating them like garbage. And to me, that kind of sounds like a dictator, right?
Well,
and he's the judge, jury, and executor.
Yeah, totally. I think some of these have come in. Slumlord, it's pretty good. Let's see.
But here's the thing.
A tyrant?
He's like a slumlord at like a...
I don't know, a five-star resort.
Well, yeah, like a Trump Tower.
He's a slumlord where everybody's staying with room with gold leaf bedsheets.
Right. Like, you're on a gold-plated dumper, he's undercutting you, right?
Yeah. But there's not a lot of love for Roger Goodell. I mean, there's pompous. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Puppet is a decent one.
Pawn of the owners.
Yeah.
Pawn of the owners.
It's hard to get one.
Is he a pawn of the owners when Robert Kraft is saying, hey, man, I can't believe he did that to us.
Well, hey, let's remember this, though. Remember when the whole Deflategate thing was going on and, like, on a Tuesday, Kraft came out and he just laid into Roger Goodell and said, how could you do this, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Remember that Friday they were seen at a party together and they were having a long talk and they ended up hugging?
You hug it out.
Like,
yeah.
And then came out like a week later and was like, I still Roger Goodell. Like, I think that there's a little element of,
showmanship.
Yeah. And you know, if you're Robert Kraft, you need to do that because you have to placate your fan base, right? You can't let your fan base know that this is happening to your star player, your best player. You got to support him. You got to support your fans and your team publicly. But I think he kind of knew, you know?
Yeah, I look at him and I really see somebody that they knew, when I say they, the owners knew exactly who they were hiring to succeed Paul Tagliabue. They realized that the league needed a change. It needed to be more about the owners. It needed to be more about power and control, and that's Jerry Jones. That's just exactly what the league wanted, and they've gotten exactly what they've asked for.
This text, one word for Goodell: mispronunciation. I think that's going back to Marcus Mariota.
Mariota.
That must be a duck
fan. Has he butchered anyone else's name on draft day?
I don't know. Maybe
the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota.
Oh,
Mariota. Ooh, figurehead?
Huh?
That one's coming in.
That would be a very good way to describe it.
Kim Jong-Goodell.
Kim Jong-Goodell.
That's a name. Idiot.
Spiteful, Patriots fan.
Actually, you know what? That might be pretty good because that's a dude that can hold a grudge and he'll come back at you.
This one, you know what? Let me show you this one, or let me tell you. I can't show you because I'm on radio.
And TV, CSN, what up?
Good morning. How about this? Never really thought about this. You'd think somebody in the same brethren would think that, okay, let me take you through. Why is Roger Goodell a certain way? The ginger hater.
Oh.
Because how many times have I told you growing up a ginger? What what happens to you when you grow up a ginger? How many times? You're always bitter. You're always fighting. You're always in controversy because when you're a redhead, people are calling you fire crotch. They're calling you all sorts of crap. You're fighting everybody all the time because every damn day I woke up as a redhead, I had to realize that I looked opposite of everybody else.
There's a fire burning so deeply in your soul, your hair
turned
red.
Think about Roger Goodell and his setup. He's kind of a ginger. Mm-hmm. He's got that edge to him and that fire. Okay. It makes perfect sense. It all is clear to me now. It's completely clear. I get it. End of story. We're done. We're moving on. I get it. It's easy. Because I know I know it to the T. Did I know exactly what it's like. I'm not excusing it.
South Park called that gingivitis. Isn't that what
he's the ginger hater.
They did a whole episode about it.
Yeah. It's true. It's completely true. All you redheads out there that are listening, all maybe four of you, you all know what I'm talking about. Mm.
Yeah. This is there's a lot of hey, you know what I'm glad about? We have a very well-educated listener base because I did not know that. I forgot about a lot of these dictators that are out that are being texted in at 55305. So congratulations to all of you.
This guy says gingers have no soul.
That's from the South Park episode, the gingivitis episode, which South Park. We were talking about this with our boss Jeff. And our sales manager, Ryan Cooley, yesterday. South Park is coming back in September, new season.
Is it really?
They have got too much material in this office with, like, the election.
Everything.
With everything that in the NFL bundling.
I don't think they'll be
able
to get it in.
They've got, like, college athletics coming under fire every single day. There's something new in college sports. There's too much that they can go to in this season that... I may have to start watching South Park, which I haven't done in a long time.
I haven't watched South Park in, I don't know, 15 years.
Well, let's start doing it again, huh?
Okay. It's kind of like, let's bring back Beavis and Butthead, too. That make me really happy.
They did. They did. Other news in the NFL, the Oakland Raiders have filed 3 trademarks for Las Vegas Raiders. San Antonio Raiders and Los Angeles Raiders.
No, but San Antonio.
Those ones had been in previous. Las Vegas is the new one. The newest trademark for the Raiders is the Las Vegas Raiders, and there may be some news on that front with now local government officials in Vegas actually supporting a $2 billion project for a domed stadium.
Boom.
$2 billion.
You know, when your government says and comes out says it publicly.
Was it a state senator?
It was a state senator.
Okay.
Said it publicly. We're going to do everything we can to consider. It started off at 1.7 and then they realized, well, that's not enough. We're going to need $2.1 billion. I think they make that per week in Vegas.
And the idea behind it is that the casinos will foot some of the bill.
Well, we as guests will end up being the ones that pay all of it.
And then the guests, it'll be a hotel tax. Yeah. We'll pay the other portion, and then the NFL will kick in. The Raiders will have to kick in some money. But they feel that they can do it with relatively, I don't want to say no impact. There will be some that taxpayers of Las Vegas and the county will have to pay. I believe it's Clark County down there.
Not Vancouver.
Not Clark County. But they will have to foot a little bit of that bill, but it won't be anything significant like we've seen in these other cities that really get ravaged by teams and owners wanting to build stadiums there.
I don't know if there are any Raiders fans out there. I want to know how you feel. If you move to Vegas, we have one Raider fan that I know of that's pretty animate that he's excited about it. Right, Crawford? I mean, you don't have any problems with going to Vegas, right?
I got no problems with that, man. Like, I'm not from Oakland. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm not from Oakland. Send them to Vegas. I'll probably go to more games.
That's true. I think a lot of Raider fans feel the same way. And I think a lot of fans of football would actually be excited.
Aren't Raiders pirates anyway?
Yeah.
They just boat around and steal from everybody. So what's the difference, right?
Yeah.
You're a pirate.
Yeah, Treasure Island.
Yeah, you just take your boat or your airplane or whatever you're going
to
do.
Treasure Island would have to be the official casino of the Las Vegas Raiders, right?
Absolutely.
And you could have all your team pictures out there on that. That'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
We got it figured out.
It really is a match made in heaven with those two, but momentum's still heading that way. All right, we put a bow on the show, and I'll leave you with a nugget that should get you
very excited for what's to come. Seriously. Dusty and Cam live from the Winco Foods Portland Open at Pumpkin Ridge. The web.com tour on 1080 The Fan.
Live from Pumpkin Ridge in the 2016 Winco Foods Portland Open, this is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Dusty and Cam coming to you live from the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz out of Pumpkin Ridge, Witch Hollow course. The private side is what the future stars of tomorrow's PGA Tour are going to be playing. 25 of the 156 players in this field will be getting PGA Tour cards at the end of this tournament on Sunday.
My ginger brethren have texted in.
Yes.
I wanted to give him a shout out for saying that. Preach it, Cam. Best thing that ever happened to me was aging and going gray. I'm starting to do that. And a little bit of yellow. I spent the better half of my grammar school in the principal's office because some kid called me Richie Cunningham and I had to give him a monkey bump in retaliation.
Oh,
right there with you, buddy. Right there. Many times in the principal's office asking me, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm a redhead. That's what's wrong. All right, so what do you got?
I could totally see you, because I'm a redhead. That's why I'm in here, Mr. Principal.
Yes.
I will say that we have been waiting and waiting. It has been a long and arduous road from February until now. But I am proud to announce that in one day, 10 hours... And
no, I know where you're going.
11 minutes and 34 seconds from right now.
I know what you're doing.
Football season returns, folks. The college football season gets underway in 1 hour, 1 day, 10 hours, 11 minutes from now, folks.
Not that anybody's counting.
I mean, I'm not counting.
There's nobody counting.
With California taking on Hawaii at in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. You know, we briefly talked about this yesterday, and you read an article about everything going on in Australia, about how Australia was such a great host. They have no idea how to put a football game on. In fact, didn't Cal have to take everything?
Yes.
They imported everything.
I actually have a laundry list of things that they had to do, and I have them all noted. Let's talk about that tomorrow.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, it'll be game day.
For people, imagine putting on it, like everything that goes into a football game, like go through that in your head and then imagine trying to play a football game in a place where you sit there and you go, so this, and then you go, oh yeah, we don't have that. Hey mate, we don't have that, all that, you know, and you're going,
chalk?
What? You don't, how do you not have these things? Like it's simple things, but Cal and Hawaii have to literally take everything to Australia. Like the only thing that they have is grass.
Yad Maka.
Yeah. What's that? It's going to be...
Crikey.
And so we'll go over the list of the logistics of this game and what it took, because it is incredible to think about what went in to making this game happen. And there was a really cool article that I read about that. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But folks, just know, on this Thursday, you only got this work day to go through. And tomorrow, it's a game day.
Yeah.
I don't care if you... Even Stanford fans have to be rejoicing a little bit that it's football season, even though it's Cal that's going to be playing.
I'm just thinking Loverboy right now.
Everybody's working for the
weekend.
Yeah.
Well, now that football's here, you're really working for the weekend. Crawford, yeah. That's your cue, but he's not working.
It's okay. Loverboy is, you know...
Should always be on cue.
Yeah.
Should always be.
Did they have any other songs, or was that their only song?
There we are.
Now you have me thinking of the Chippendales dancing.
Was it Chippendales that he did that?
SNL. Yeah, Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze
doing
the shimmy to this.
I feel like I'm in every 80s movie right now. You've got to work for the weekend.
If I was to be a stripper, this would be my song.
Did I blow your mind about... Remember when I blew your mind about the cover of this? That was a girl in the red pants?
Yeah.
And that was a dude's hand?
A dude's hand.
It was a stunt hand. But it was a girl in red pants. How many thought that was the lead singer of Loverboy?
Leather pants. Never look at that again.
Yeah.
Text at 55305. This guy's a redhead with the last name McDonald. Just imagine what the kids in school did.
Oh, I was never called, ever called Ronald. Every day.
Sure. every day from McDonald's.
Stinking day. Carrot top. You know what I'd say? I'd say, you know what? You idiots, top of the carrot is green, so shut the hell up.
Good comeback.
That was my comeback.
Hey, Cam.
Really good comeback.
Cam,
but it is. The top of a carrot is green. The stem is green. So I'd yell at their dumbasses for calling me a carrot top.
I think that.
But then that idiot carrot top, who's a comedian, screwed us up for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a kid, Cam, that looked like me that bullied you? Because that would just answer a lot of questions.
Oh, fat Crawford or regular Crawford?
Either one, man. It would just, yeah, it would all make sense.
That would take care. It would answer a lot of the questions.
The fifth grade fat Crawford, I would probably have been scared of. The one now, no, because I would have just snapped you in half.
The question as to why you're so surly towards Crawford may very easily be answered with there was a little hipster that bullied you in Cedar Woolley.
There were hipsters in Cedar Woolley? That'd be amazing.
Well, there. Okay, so sorry. There's a
that'd be
kid,
like Ned Beatty trying to make it down the river of deliverance if a hipster showed up in Woolley.
There was a
he would not make it.
There was a kid dressed in his grandfather's clothes that bullied you in Cedar Woolley. You know, maybe he wasn't a hipster.
No, I just had a guy that I had Brian Bosworth. There was a big dude that was he aged earlier. Than everybody, you know, he was the kid in seventh grade that had all the armpit hair.
Oh yeah,
remember that kid?
Uh huh.
Yeah, and he had the Bosworth haircut because it was 1980. What was that? 80, yeah. 87, 88. He was that guy. He was a D-bag.
Wow. All right. Do you want to talk this out? Should we bring a couch here tomorrow?
My fellow redheads have chimed in and really trying to let you know because the Roger Goodell, we wanted to know and it figured out why Roger Goodell is so surly and why he's a dictator and why everyone on the text line decided to say he's he's Genghis Khan.
Well, yeah.
He's a douche. He's spiteful. And he's, I guess, slightly arrogant and pompous.
Well, yeah, that would be definitely one word. Those are all one word.
There's a few I can't share. Can't say.
No, and a lot of people went
Slumlord
into
Slumlord is a
Slumlord
good one.
Slumlord was pretty
Slumlord's
good.
Slumlord's a good one.
But Slumlord of like the richest, the tallest, nicest building in the world.
Can't really say that's a slum.
Yeah, but you know, the actions of him, like he would be a slumlord. Very like Donald Sterling without the racial tirades.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have anybody you'd like to wish?
Oh, yes.
And congratulations to.
We have to wish a very happy birthday to Jason Swigard.
Oh, Swag.
As Cam Cleland would say,
the figurehead of 1080
the
fan.
Huh?
Yes. Congratulations.
Huh? Happy birthday,
happy
Swag.
Happy birthday, Swag.
It's Swag's birthday.
I know you're standing over Crawford telling him to hurry up, so. Mm-hmm.
So on this day, for your birthday, Swag.
Yes.
I'm going to give you an extra 30 seconds on your next update.
Look at that.
Come on out to the Winco Foods Portland Open presented by Kraft Heinz out at Pumpkin Ridge, Witch Hollow. It's a web.com tour's final full field event of the season. 156 of the top golfers in the world and 25 of them at the end of this tournament on Sunday will be getting PGA Tour member cards. We will be back here tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Come on out and join us or just listen on the radio, watch on TV. This has been Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3. Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7. Primetime with Isaac and Suk. We'll see you tomorrow.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!